Whether you're looking to build a website for your business, your hobby, your podcast, or just for fun, Pear Networks is your go-to web hosting partner. Not only do we have the lowest domain price in the industry, starting at just $11, we've got hundreds of stunning website templates to help you stand out from the crowd. You're not a techie? Not a problem. With our easy DIY site builders, you can launch your impressive website without any technical know-how. And when it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. Check out pear.com today to learn more. PAIR.com. I love you so, 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 so much. I love you so, 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 so much.
Hello, all you positive heads out there. Thanks for tuning your beautiful brainwaves into another episode of the Positive Head Podcast, where we are firmly convinced that creating success and happiness is rooted in understanding the ultimate nature of reality and the fact that as human beings, we are all immensely powerful fractals of the one and only source consciousness, which creates and animates all things. Now, of course, understanding this powerful truth is one thing. Applying this incredibly empowering wisdom to everyday life? Well, that's another. Which is exactly why we provide you with a fresh serving of soul food for thought 5 days a week. To help constantly remind you of what matters most. You are it. And I'm your host, Brandon Beecham. I'm the one who will be here with you each and every Wednesday, interviewing a different consciousness changemaker that is also out there working tirelessly to help catalyze change and expand awareness all across spaceship Earth. On the other 4 weekdays, you can hear me discussing topics such as my favorite thought-provoking quotes, reading and discussing wisdom from empowering books, playing clips from various inspirational spiritual teachers, sharing a bit of mysterious news, taking questions from the audience, and essentially digging into any other mind-expansive topics that will help keep your soul fed by tuning you into positive vibrations on a consistent basis. Also, this episode of the Positive Head Podcast is being brought to you thanks to the support of Gaia. If you're not familiar, Gaia is the go-to source for streaming consciousness content online, and you can sign up for your first month for only 99 cents at gaia.com/positive head. Check it out. All right, all you positive heads, welcome back to another episode. So happy to be here with you all. To connect and share, grow, learn, explore, adventure, etc., etc. Let's see. I'm going to jump right in and start with a review. Yesterday, we had a bit of a rough review. So today, I was happy to see a review by CLittle21 that says, "Grateful for the positivity. I've been listening to this podcast for maybe 2 months. I started reading books about divinity and positivity and needed a little more help on a daily basis to begin implementing it fully into my life. I listened in consecutive order and since then have gone back and re-listened to certain episodes that I found truly helpful. I am grateful for this podcast, especially because there are so few like it. I've been a habitual overthinker most of my life, and with the combination of this podcast, reading, meditation, and yoga, I am, moment by moment, creating more positivity for myself. Thank you for your continued contribution to the collective, and please know you are greatly appreciated." Oh, thank you so much, CLittle. I am very grateful to have you take the time to review and connect, and it certainly helps fuel my labor of love to know that I'm making a difference in your life. And, you know, of course, you're the one doing it. You're the one who's gone from being a habitual overthinker to doing things that are filling your mind and body and time with that are positive and you know, reinforcing the things you want to see more of. So that is something that is difficult for a lot of people to ever make that transition, right? It's so easy to get lost in self-judgment and anger and all the disconnected things that we do. And so just the fact that you're doing it, you are an inspiration. So keep it up, keep on keeping on. And for those of you who haven't reviewed, please take the time to do so. You can do so. iTunes, of course, being the holy grail of all things podcasting. But we are on the other platforms. You can find the show. Can't really review anywhere other than iTunes. Well, I take that back. There are some different apps that you can review. But if you would review on iTunes, it certainly helps us reach new people. You can also find us on SoundCloud, Google Play, you know, most of the podcast apps out there. So, yeah. Excelente. Let's see. Moving right along here. Also, if you're not on the Positive Heads Facebook group, please get on there. There are a couple thousand of us on there, connecting, sharing, supporting, lots of friendships being made, soul family support. If you need some soul family support, that's definitely the spot. And we'd love to see your beautiful face in there and your wisdom, your questions. You can write in questions that I may answer. I try to answer as many as I can on the show, and also through Brandon at positivehead.com or the positivehead.com website, you can reach out with your questions as well. All right. So what are we going to talk about today? What are we going to dive into and explore a little further? You know, I talked about on the show a few days ago, the Osho article on positivity that IdeaPod posted, and then sort of my rebuttal to it, and you know, authentic positivity and how it arises from changing your perspective naturally. It's not something to be forced. And I noticed the article's getting just a ton of reach. Just my response alone has, like, I don't know, like 350 likes on it. So a lot of people, it certainly stirred up a lot of stuff for people, which I think is awesome. Super healthy. I love the opportunity for us all to share and grow and sort of bounce ideas and thoughts off each other and kind of figure out what's going on as we navigate this weird, wonderful experience called life on planet Earth together. And because it keeps coming up, and then my friend Justin sort of responded to my response, and you know, it led me further down the rabbit hole. And so I thought, you know what, why don't I continue with that a little bit, and let's take a look at what you know, what my response back was. What, just to sum up what Justin's response was, is that he feels that anger can be an end goal in his, well, I'll just read it real quick. Why don't I do that? That's probably the best way. He says, for me, the expression of anger, for example, can be usefully seen as an end in and of itself, rather than as a passage to release an emotion so that I return to a Zen state of tranquility. And I totally understand and respect that perspective. I went on to say, and I'm just summing up here, that, you know, I believe that anger can be useful to some degree, certainly more than other states like fear, grief, or apathy, but it also can be quite harmful. We know, of course, research shows that, you know, anger and stress does a lot of damage to the body and mind. So I don't personally believe it should be something that should be an end goal in and of itself. And it got me thinking, you know, about different statements, quotes, ideas that I'd heard out there. For example, the Buddha quote, you will not be punished for your anger, you will be punished by your anger, or being angry is, you know, drinking poison and expecting the other person to die, kind of thing. So I went on in that, in my response, and I won't read it all here, to talk about, you know, the different levels of consciousness as outlined in the book by David Hawkins, Power Versus Force. And it's a great book written, you know, 20 some years ago. But basically, what David Hawkins talks about in this book is, by applying a scale, well, first off, he uses muscle testing to get answers to yes or no questions, basically showing that our body has answers to certain things. And he takes the same scale and, you know, to questions involving morality, motive, consciousness, and they measured what they called the tractor fields that are responsible for human behavior. And then later in the book, they kind of calibrate with this method. And I'm very much summing it up here, but they basically calibrate all the different human behaviors, right? And on the very low end of that would be shame. It measured 0 to 20. You know, on enlightenment is a 700 to 1,000, just to give you an example. And so I, you know, I referenced that. So, you know, what he talks about power versus force, force you having to, well, force something, right? So your lowest would be shame. Then from there you move up, you know, and it's the emotions are humiliation. Guilt, is next up, you know, on the scale, and that's blame. You know, it would be the emotion. Apathy is despair, then grief, then fear, then desire, then anger, which is still in the force category, right? Which the emotion can be hate or aggression. Then pride, which is one that's right on the cusp of switching from force to power, which is one that's really supported in our culture, right? Being prideful and so forth. But it's still in the force category. Moving into power in a scale of 200 is courage. And then from, you know, now you've got something that, you know, is considered a critical threshold. This is a level where your motives and actions begin to align with the attractor fields associated with power. And it's becomes, you know, life sort of turns in a positive direction, so to speak. And yeah, so it's, you know, starting with power, it's courage, neutrality, willingness, acceptance, reason, love, joy, peace, enlightenment. So it goes up the scale, and very interesting. You guys can look this up and learn more if you check out Power versus Force, and you can look up the chart that I'm reading from. You can I recommend the book. It's a very, very good book. And So yeah, just something to really, when you really take it into consideration, it's like, where do you want to reside? Where, you know, what is your end goal? If your end goal is, you know, having the emotion of hate or processing aggression or, you know, an antagonistic life view, then anger is probably a good spot to land or to aim for, you know. But for me, I don't see that as a place that's going to yield the sorts of results that I want in my life. So once again, I mean, this is such a wonderful, wonderful topic to explore. And I super appreciate the fact that it's out there being discussed, and I can even have any sort of part in chiming in on the conversation. Actually, I think the IdeaPod guys are going to be putting together some sort of a panel to discuss it further and inviting me on. So I'm really excited about that. Very, very cool. But what I'd like to do is I found a clip that goes into this a little bit further by Eckhart Tolle, and it's called How Do I Manage Expectations? Although he talks a lot about anger and expectation management, and it gets into some other things that, you know, how ego plays into all this. And so I thought this would be a really good path for us to explore further down the rabbit hole of what is anger? Where is it coming from? How do we deal with it? Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? And then, of course, from the ultimate perspective, there's neither good or bad. It's all just experience, right? So what perspective are we exploring this from? But yeah, anyway, let's take a listen to Eckhart Tolle, see what he's got. How do I manage expectations? Take a listen.
Here, a related question. As I'm awakening, I'm becoming more aware of how often I'm angry, and it is getting tiresome. How do I manage the expectations of myself? Well, let's see. So, you need to manage the expectations, and then you need to manage the anger. Anger management and expectation management. Expectation means you beat yourself up for being unconscious, which is more unconsciousness, because the mental image of who you are says, I'm not good enough, I can't do it. You see, been at it for 25 years and I still can't do it. You can't possibly be any good if you still can't do it after 25 years. Those are thoughts that float around in your mind. And how do you feel? I suppose that's Byron Katie would ask that. How do you feel when you believe those thoughts? Not good. You're beating yourself up and you feel an emotion. Feel bad about myself. More ego. More conceptualized identity in your mind. Concepts in your mind about you. You derive your sense of self from that, more of the same. So the, well, let's say it's anger, the, and then you wake up after the anger reaction, say, I did it again, I'm no good. So you have the second egoic reaction to the first one. Anger is something that is comes in many people very fast, so there may not be, unless there's already considerable presence power in you, there may not be enough presence to catch it. It takes you over before you know it, especially old reaction. And before you know it, you are talking and shouting, and you are not doing it at all. It's the pattern. It's the mind pattern, mental-emotional pattern in you, which often related to what I call the pain body, which is old, accumulated, painful emotion, which could be anger, which could be deep, depressed sadness. Anger is a very frequent one, as the pain body energy is just waiting in people who have accumulated old anger, going back to childhood, feeling powerless. And what does a child do when the child feels powerless? It starts screaming. That's all it can do. And sometimes it works. Sometimes the parents come and say, okay, you can have the sweet if you scream loud enough. So its powerlessness is always behind anger. And the ego pretends that there's your power there in anger. But anger arises out of a sense of powerlessness. And it's a, so they, and there's often fear hiding underneath it. And when you are there looking at it, then you realize that at first hand within yourself, there is a sense of powerlessness behind it. And the ego is pretending to be powerful when really it's in a state of fear. You can see it even with little dogs. The smallest dogs are the most, bark the most. And whenever they're little, I've seen little dogs, whenever a big one goes past, they get angry. Because, I mean, if I were that size, I would do that too, probably. So you're a little chihuahua, or you're a little sweet little bichon frisé, and a mastiff walks past, or a Rottweiler, who looks very quiet, because the Rottweiler knows its own power. It doesn't need to, it goes. And the little one goes. But with dogs, we smile when we see that, because we somehow recognize that pattern. And we smile, and probably the Rottweiler has an inner smile too when he walks past. But with humans, it's more difficult to smile, and they go, ah! And words come streaming out of their mouth. It's more difficult to smile, but it's possible not necessarily smile, but recognize it for what it is when you see it in another. Don't equate that with who that person is. Recognize it, that the person has been taken over by that energy field. And that already is a wonderful thing. That already we could call is forgiveness in a wider sense. We don't equate unconscious behavior with who that person is. If we equate it with who that person is, that's the real meaning of judgment. Judgment is not to say to somebody, I realize that you get angry a lot, and that person then might tell you, are you judging me? No, it's a fact. If I see that you get angry a lot, that was just a fact. There's no judgment in it. But if I equate that with your essential identity of who you are an angry person, and then I always expect more anger from you, that's a judgment. Not recognizing a pattern that operates unconsciously through humans and taking them for their identity is judgment. And you can do it to yourself. So you can judge yourself for those things, and that is just as much ego as judging somebody else. You can beat yourself up and call yourself no good. And whatever else the self-talk tells you in your head, it calls you you. In many people's minds, when the mind talks to you, it says, you, see, you are such and such, you see, you can't do it. Sometimes it says, I in some people, but in many it says, you. Isn't that strange? You talk to yourself in your head. One part of your mind condemns the other part. When you see it, you can rise above it, and there's suddenly an awareness that comes with it. You're no longer trapped in those patterns. I would recommend particularly to become particularly alert when you know you're getting stressed, something, a situation is building up, and some kind of, for example, if you get anger takes over when you get stressed, could happen. When you feel a stress building up towards it, you can become very alert so that you can, doesn't take you over. What you know, the anger is about to come, or if you know certain areas of your life are more likely to make you unconscious. Sometimes you know just beforehand that those are going to arise in the next minute or so, and then you can be alert, feel the entire energy field in your body, be alert with every cell of your body, then pick up the phone and talk about the financial situation with your investment advisor. So that, and so treat those as spiritual practices and realize nothing is more important than consciousness, not the situation, it's consciousness. Some people's pain bodies consist, as I said, predominantly of anger. And you can in some people you can sense their semi-dormant pain body in the background, even when they are not particularly angry right now. But there are people who are waiting for the next opportunity to be angry. That's their pain body. And sometimes when you are sensitive towards other, you can feel energy fields, you can sometimes sense in other people they are waiting for an excuse to be angry. Somehow when you look into their eyes, it's already there. But it's not them. It's that which occupies their inner energy field, which is the pain body. And so they're waiting, and any excuse, and they will get angry at you or whoever it may be. So you become a grievance looking for a cause.
So he talks about some really great things here. Of course, one that we've talked about a lot on the show that we come back to time and time again is how important it is not to beat yourself up for being unconscious. If you get angry, for example, not beating yourself up, feeling bad about yourself is more ego. It's more of this conceptualized identity. I'm supposed to be this. I'm now this spiritual being who never gets angry. And, you know, all of us talk about anger. I mean, I still have my angry moments for sure. And sort of, you know, being very careful not to get caught up on, you know, beating myself up if I do. I like how he talks about, you know, the pain body, and, you know, it's talked a lot about in Eckhart Tolle's book, Power Versus Now, another book I recommend. You guys have heard me recommend a lot of times on the show. You know, he talks about this pain body is like a child screaming, and that anger, actually powerlessness is always behind anger, or fear is also hiding behind anger. And it's, you know, really your ego pretending to be powerful, this ego self, you know, edging God out, you know, or EGO, right? Everybody's greatest obstacle. It is this part of self that needs healing, that is cut off, that doesn't realize it is the source that created all things. It feels very separate. It feels very threatened, which is why it feels fearful. It doesn't feel connected to everything. It doesn't feel like everything's a reflection and a part, an extension of it. And he used the example, you know, the ego pretending to be powerful like a small dog. We've all seen that, right? And of course, he then went on to say it's harder with humans when they get like that dog. But with practice, we can get better. And I know this from experience. I mean, I'm someone who's definitely been fiery and dealt with my share of lashing out at people and angry and, you know, just kind of blow up on people. And it's been a long journey for me to sort of tame my flame. Hey, that rhymed. For me to tame my flame, and I've gotten better, and I'm certainly a work in progress. But, you know, take the review from yesterday, for example, the negative review. It didn't incite any sort of anger or upsetness or reaction from me, really. I just saw it for what it was. This is a person who's feeling, you know, who's feeling angry themselves, feeling disconnected, feeling like, you know, I tried this spiritual stuff and it's BS and oh my gosh, you tricked me. And I understand that. It's part of the process, the spiral process of awakening as we take, you know, two steps forward and one step back. Well, he's having a step back and that's okay. And that's part of his process. And he'll come back around. I believe it. And if not, that's okay too. You know, it's understanding all of it from a higher vantage point or a broadened vantage point, seeing more of the picture. It takes away the sting, right? Recognizing unconscious behavior as not that person and as a sense of, really, you're now tapping into a sense of forgiveness instead of judgment. And he goes on to say, look, and if you're judging yourself, that's as much ego as judging others. And he talked about how we notice to yourself as you, you know, creating this sort of like separation, like there's more than one of you in there. That's sort of a red flag, right? That you are dealing with your ego consciousness, a separation piece. It's even going so far as to separate you from within, right? And, you know, he talked so much good stuff in this little clip. He talked about if you're getting stressed, become alert and you can help prevent anger from taking you over. And that's one that's certainly been key for me in recent years. It'll be alert. As I start getting stressed, I start going down that agitated state that you guys have heard me talk about before, getting agitated about this, that, or the other. It is like an alert now. It's like, oh, you know, but alarm going off, Brandon, look, I can see you're going down this rabbit hole of anger. It's a slippery slope. Be aware, you know, and when you can become aware of every cell in your body, he said, when this happens, you treat this process as a spiritual practice. And you are really, really on to something when you start doing this. And it's something that I've just started to get even, dare I say, good at, better at. And it feels so good when that alarm goes off and you catch yourself and you sort of treat it as a spiritual practice and see the beauty in it and realize, as he said, nothing is more important than consciousness. And you know, when you see that anger in the background for some people, they're waiting for an excuse to get angry. It's never personal. That's them dealing with their own ego consciousness, their own pain body. As he said, they're a grievance looking for a cause. So why would we take this so personal? Why are we so, you know, upset when someone gets upset at us when really it's never really about you? I mean, you're an excuse. You're a mirror. You've heard me say the quote before, you don't see people as they are. You see them as you are. And that's happening to you when someone is dealing with you in a way that is, you know, there's no real logic or reason for their hostility or agitation towards you. And if you can know that and bring that to the experience, it's a game changer. And you start attracting new types of experiences because you've learned what you need to learn from that. So next time someone's blowing up at you, next time someone is angry, look at it as, you know, an opportunity in disguise. It's always a diamond in disguise, right? That lump of coal. And slowly but surely, we're all figuring it out here together. And I so appreciate you sharing this journey to self-awareness with me. We have so much further to go. The path is the goal. The journey is the goal. We'll never fully arrive. Every time we get to a new vista, a new plateau, there'll be infinity stretching out before us, I believe. So that's the good news. You can continue to expand and become more of who and what you are. Source is infinite in all directions. And that sort of melts your mind to think about. But it's also very encouraging to know that the adventure will never end and change is guaranteed. So, and you're eternal. So what else matters? Relax. Relax about it all. Just take it as it comes and don't take yourself so seriously. Brandon, you, me, all of us. All right. Well, guys, we're out of imaginary time for this episode, but I will be back. I have a wonderful song to leave you with. This is NYM, N-Y-M. The song is called Flipped. Also, if you're craving more consciousness-elevating content, be sure to check out Gaia, which is my personal go-to source for streaming consciousness content on the web, where you can stream an incredible 7,000-plus exclusive videos covering 5,000 years of wisdom. As you all hear me constantly say, it's a daily conscious effort to maintain an elevated vibration. And if you're looking to journey deep down the rabbit hole to do so, then Gaia is the best place I know of to do it, period. And you can sign up for your first month for only 99 cents at gaia.com/positive head. Check it out.
And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
Marcus, what happened?
I was changing my oil and I spilled some on the floor.
Oh, well, use these $50 bills to wipe it up.
Perfect. Got any more?
Yeah, take a couple hundred.
Stop. Instead of using money, use an old rag. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.